Welcome to the Lifestyles with Thais show. I'm Thais Froggatt and I'm your host. This interview is as much for me as it is for you. We bring with it a hit of positivity, gratitude, and community, simply taking it all in. I'm chatting to interesting people. Their stories are significant, and with positive human encounters, we can all have a snowball effect on the world. Lifestyles is an antidote to new information and knowledge. Join me as we speak to our guest, who is a principal consultant from Fresh Leaf Analytics. Reese has a background in political science. Reese is a key opinion leader in the medicinal cannabis industry. Welcome, Reese Cohen.
Our final speaker tonight, I've got the pleasure of introducing Reese Cohen. I've worked with Reese on a number of non-commercial education projects. He is a cannabis economist. I'm not sure if you still like to call yourself that. He'll correct me if he doesn't. Reese is from Fresh Leaf Analytics and is going to be presenting to you shortly when it comes online.
Yeah, hi everybody. So my name's Reese Cohen. I'm the principal consultant at Fresh Leaf Analytics. And I am a commercial consultant and policy and politics nerd, basically. So now the advisory committee on medicines scheduling, that is the body that makes these decisions, is considering what should be done, essentially. So they were inviting the public and the general public to make submissions to them. Now, that doesn't mean that on February 1st, 2021, you will be able to go to your pharmacist and buy CBD. For example, medical cannabis was legalized in 2016 in Australia, and that meant that cannabis moved from Schedule 9 to Schedule 8. So cannabis including THC and everything except pure CBD, right? The only way in which Australians have been able to access most cannabis medicines is through these special access schemes and authorized prescriber schemes.
Welcome, Reese. Hello.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
I understand the medicinal marijuana is about to be available, as you were saying there in that spill, across the country of Australia in pharmacies. Can you kindly tell us some more on that?
Absolutely. So medical cannabis has actually been legal in Australia in one form or another since at least 2016. That was when we passed some legislation that allowed for the cultivation and manufacture of cannabis medicines within Australia. And it was also the year in which we made medical cannabis products more accessible for doctors to prescribe. Now, it's been quite a long journey. It hasn't been easy. And especially in the early days, 2016, 2017, even 2018, the number of patients who were managing to get access to these products was really limited. So we're now at the point where we estimate that about 15,000 Australians are taking a prescribed cannabis medicine. But it's not as easy for doctors to write a prescription for a medical cannabis product as it is to write a prescription for a different kind of, you know, mainstream sort of medicine. So that's what's been going on for the last few years. And the new news that came out at the start of this year was that the government is looking to make some additional changes to how cannabis products are regulated in Australia. And the intention is to allow certain cannabis products that don't contain THC. So for those who don't know, within the cannabis plant, there are a bunch of different ingredients, these chemicals that have medical and other properties. The two most common ones are THC, which causes intoxication, and the other one is CBD, which doesn't cause intoxication. They both have medical benefits in their own right. But the news, the proposed change that the government is working on at the moment is to make low-dose CBD products available for people to access behind the counter at pharmacies. It's a little bit nuanced, but that's where we're at the moment.
Wow, it certainly is. Fresh Leaf seems to be quite unique, and it doesn't seem to be anywhere else in a, is anywhere sorry is anywhere else doing this in Australia?
Well, Freshleaf Analytics is a commercial consulting company. So we help mostly cannabis product companies, but also investors, regulators, and other people figure out what's going on with medical cannabis in Australia and around the world, and you know what are the best ways to get products in the hands of people who want to access them. So we're one of, it's a very small market. So we are one of the very few dedicated medical cannabis consulting groups within Australia. And we are the only one that I'm aware of, which is also affiliated with a medical cannabis clinic. So this is a specialist medical clinic that is set up to facilitate easier access to these products under appropriate clinical situations, you know, overseen by doctors. And our relationship with this clinic allows us to access some quite detailed information on what products are like, what their pricing points are, who's being prescribed what products to treat which conditions, you know, what kind of doses people are taking. And so we draw on those very rich data sets to provide some unique market insights for our clients.
Sure. Okay. So, Rhys, tell me, why are you so passionate about this?
Oh, gee, that's a good question. It's funny, I started off being interested in cannabis as a social justice issue when I was doing my university degree. It was a social science degree. And I ended up writing my honours thesis on the political and economic history of cannabis legalization or criminalization within the United States. So at that time in my life, I wasn't very interested in medical cannabis necessarily, but it happened to coincide, you know, completing my honours thesis happened to coincide almost exactly with the commencement of Australia's legal medical cannabis industry. And so at that point in time, I thought, oh, well, you know, I've got some expertise. I'm quite interested in cannabis as a social practice and as a commodity. You know, I'll start working in the medical field and just see how I go. And since then, I've sort of had a revelation, basically, that, you know, I mean, you speak to enough medical cannabis patients in Australia, you hear enough of their stories and some of the genuine anguish and trauma that they've gone through because they haven't been able to access it or because the access pathways have been too horrific. And it sort of radicalizes you to some extent. So I'm now much more interested in the medical aspect of cannabis than the other aspects of cannabis. But that's sort of how I ended up getting into the field, I guess.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. And tell me, what qualifies someone to be able to access such a product?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So in other places around the world, everywhere regulates cannabis differently, which is confusing enough in its own right. So people might be familiar with, in some places within the United States, for example, where, you know, you go to a pot doctor and they give you a card or a recommendation of some kind, and then you take that to a store called the dispensary. And, you know, it doesn't look or feel very much like a medical consultation or that you're accessing a medical product. So that's not the situation in Australia. In Australia, it's a doctor's decision to prescribe a specific medical product that contains cannabis ingredients to you as a patient. And the most common way for that to happen is for a doctor to request permission from the federal government to issue you with a prescription. That request that they make to the federal government should lay out, you know, why that doctor believes that you as a patient are suitable for this kind of treatment, mm-hmm. what condition you have, your medical history, and an explanation of why they think this product is appropriate for you and how they're going to be monitoring you for side effects and whatnot. So in theory, in Australia, anyone might be suitable for cannabinoid therapy, but it's up to the individual doctor to make a case to the regulator as to why they believe it would be important or necessary. So in some other places around the world, they have a list of conditions, you know, this is approved, that's not approved, you can get cannabis for this, but not that. But in Australia, there's no such list. There are conditions for which there is more evidence or less evidence, and you may be more or less likely for a doctor to seek and receive an approval for treating that condition. But there's no, oh, you know, you must have X, Y, and Z in order to qualify in Australia.
And tell me, is this product affordable?
I wouldn't say it's affordable. These products are quite expensive, and the cost will be determined by how much of your medication you're required to take, because everybody is different, and the dose that you'll take will be dependent on your personal physiology as well as your condition. So the other thing to keep in mind is that these cannabis products in Australia, they are essentially experimental products as far as the regulator is concerned. They have not gone through the normal, mostly they haven't gone through the normal clinical research pathways that other medicines have gone through. And because of that, they are not eligible for any government subsidies. So none of these products are currently on the pharmaceutical benefits scheme, and few of them are subsidized by insurance companies. So it's an out-of-pocket cost. On average, at the moment, Australians are paying about $400 a month for their prescription cannabis medicines, which is quite a lot of money. But once again, that'll depend on your condition. So a lot of one of the things that medical cannabis has been very promising in treating are some of these very severe pediatric epilepsy cases. So children with drug-resistant seizures, really horrific conditions. And those patients in particular require extremely high doses of CBD in order to help manage their symptoms. So some of those patients would be paying $30,000 to $50,000 a year for their medication, which is, you know, an order of magnitude greater than the $400 a month that your average medical cannabis patient might be taking. What's interesting, though, is that there was quite a large survey that only got published last week, and it was a survey of Australians who report that they use cannabis for medical purposes, and 95% of the people who responded to the survey were using illicit or non-prescribed cannabis medicines. And on average, that group of people was paying about $350 a month, if I remember my maths correctly, for the unregulated and illicit products. So it seems that prices for prescribed products are still too high, but they are coming down, while prices for illicit products are staying relatively stable. And hopefully in the next few months, we'll see them intersect and legal products will become just as affordable as illegal products.
Oh, fantastic. So who engages with your company? What is the primary market for Fresh Leaf Analytics?
Well, we do a lot of work, but most of the work that we do is custom research and analysis for medical cannabis product companies. So for example, we might have a company who comes to us and they're a Canadian or an Israeli company who wants to export products to Australia, but they don't know what they should be sending or to whom or what they should be pricing it at or how competitive their products might be or how attractive their products might be. So we provide them some advice and insight on that. We also do other more sort of in-depth research on Australian patients. So just a few months ago, we concluded a project where we were looking at when and how frequently patients who start medical cannabis therapy will cease medical cannabis therapy, the sort of attrition rate. And that's part of our work to try and quantify how many patients are accessing medical cannabis and therefore, you know, what level of commercial activity is going on in the market at the moment. So those are the sorts of more detailed projects that we get to work on.
Excellent. So it's certainly taken a long time for it to get to be accepted into society. You must feel a sense of satisfaction to get it to this point and for it to be so legal. And what are your thoughts on that?
It's important, honestly, and I think this is the case for most people who work in and are exposed to medical cannabis in Australia. It's actually more frequently it's a sense of frustration than optimism. I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, when you take a step back and you look at the grand scheme of things, we have actually made quite tremendous progress in a very short period of time. But when you're, you know, constantly speaking with and engaging with people who continue to find it impossible to make the system work for them, it does wear you down, I must say, after some time. So it's certainly not an easy field to work in. I don't think anyone who works in this field does it because it's easy necessarily. They do it because they're very passionate about the work that they do.
I love that, sharing your, yeah, exactly. You're doing it because you're passionate about it. And yeah. I guess I was going to ask some of the challenges that you may have faced with it, and have you had a lot of backlash I think you kind of answered that, and how much how it's been so controversial for this topic for so many years.
It is interesting, isn't it? I think what's really interesting is that medical cannabis has always enjoyed, or at least in the last decade, has enjoyed very high popular support. So I think people, Australians, are able to easily distinguish between medical cannabis and non-medical cannabis, or medical use and non-medical use. And people have their own views about non-medical use, and that's fine. But the vast majority of Australians, I think over 90% of Australians in one survey that was conducted several years ago, are in support of medical cannabis. And in fact, the legislation that legalized the domestic cultivation and manufacture of cannabis medicines in Australia received unanimous support within Parliament. So there wasn't a single vote against that piece of legislation, and there wasn't a single politician who spoke out against the passage of that legislation. And it actually passed in record time. I think it set a record for the quickest assent for a new piece of legislation. So, you know, it's all very well. I think the challenge is it's all very well and good to support the idea of medical cannabis, but implementing a medical cannabis scheme is very challenging. You know, one of the challenges that people experienced in addition to the high cost has been, you know, the fact that doctors don't know much about medical cannabis. They haven't been trained in it. They're not prepared. Many of them don't have the time or the energy or the interest to educate themselves on cannabis medicines and how to, you know, navigate this somewhat complex regulatory environment in order to get access for their patients. That's why the clinics have been so important. So CA Clinics, which is the clinic that I'm affiliated with, you know, that's been up and running for many years, I think since 2016, 17 even. And the idea is just to provide a place where people can go, where they know that there are doctors who are very experienced and trained in the medical use of cannabis, and, you know, an organization that has back office support to help with all of the paperwork, which can be quite onerous. So that's been an important part of the medical cannabis journey in Australia, I think, is the rise of the clinics. And there are other clinics as well available. Thankfully, now it's also possible for most specialist general practitioners in Australia to pursue this scheme should they want to. So it's simply about having the time, the interest, and the energy to educate themselves.
Well, it's certainly been topical, and so many of us appreciate the efforts taken to getting it to this point. And thank you, Rhys, for sharing your time with us today. I found it very informative.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. With so much proof on its benefits and how it can help us, it's a surprise it's taken so long to put it into place. And so thank you so much to our guest, Rhys, and to InView TV and Bruce Mott for producing today's episode. My name is Thais Froggatt, and we'll see you next time on Lifestyles with Thais.